Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What would you rather see? Chiefs three-peat, Chiefs lose. It's kind of all about the Chiefs in this Super Bowl. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, which is a little weird because, Perloff, you are the Eagles fan around here, so we get a lot of Eagles talk.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Eagles are a bad team.
Eagles are a popular team, too. They get a lot of prime time. They get gigantic ratings, but any NFC East team does. But I would say the top 25 games every year, the Eagles are in there 8 or 9 times. The Chiefs are overwhelming right now because of the three-peat. I mean, that is the story.
It absolutely is. It feels like this is either going to be a coronation where the Chiefs now can lay claim to maybe being the greatest football dynasty of all time, which is going to be up for debates between now and the end of time if they can do it. You know, what's greater, to be able to do 3 in a row or do what the Patriots did, which is 6 over 20 years, and Brady obviously has 7. And
I mean, the Packers probably have a claim too.
Packers. What about the Steelers? What about the Cowboys? I mean, but here's the thing. If you do something that no one has ever done, you automatically, I think, leapfrog a lot of these other dynasties. But you tell us at 855-212-4227. And then there's like a specific part of this, which is, Perloff, not to put words in your mouth, I think you feel there's something about sports today where people don't want to see greatness just for the sake of seeing greatness. The idea of knocking the Chiefs down a peg is more appealing to sports fans than seeing a team achieve something they've never done.
Well, the reason I think that is every reason that I've asked you and EJ and the fans why you don't like the Chiefs, nobody has one reason. Everybody has a different reason, and they're all stupid.
Well, not... the winning isn't stupid if you resent the winning.
No one comes out and says, I don't like the Chiefs because they win too much. Everyone else, that's why they really don't like them, but they come up with some excuse about something else. All the excuses are thin, right? I mean, to me, every single one of them individually does not add up. That's how I feel. Like, I mean, EJ has a list of, has a scroll of 100 things.
It's a PowerPoint presentation for why you should hate the Chiefs, or why he does.
But yesterday you mentioned because life was, they didn't have to earn it, like they just came up too fast and they're not the underdog. That's ridiculous because they went 50 years without a Super Bowl. They were the Lions for a huge chunk of their franchise. And, or that people don't like them because their families are annoying. Like, that's off limits. Like, everybody's family's annoying. Do you know anyone? Do you have a single friend who doesn't have an annoying relative? Of course. Taylor Swift, that makes no sense to me. Like, we don't like them because of Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift tickets, it was the hardest ticket in the history of concerts to ever get. She's obviously quite popular. That's why we don't like her. Maybe the officials thing. But again, now all that is getting completely gutted by all the numbers.
Well, not like the really. Chiefs, the extra 200 penalty yards that they've gained in the postseason, like maybe it's just because they play more games than everyone in the postseason, but they are getting some home cooking.
All the stats are showing that. I mean, Josh Allen gets way more roughing penalties than Patrick Mahomes.
But let's talk about the playoffs, not the whole season. Let's talk about the postseason. But here's the thing. Yeah. I can't really begrudge them because, A, they have a lot of home games, so you got to expect a couple calls are going to go your way. Right. That's just sports. And two, they did go on the road last year. They beat my Bills. They beat the Ravens. They went to the Super Bowl.
I mean, the Bills definitely get more calls. Like, all the experts are coming out with numbers that the Bills have been getting more penalty luck than the Chiefs.
But not in the postseason and not in the head-to-head games that they play.
I think they have. I think you ought to check that. I saw Mitch Holtis.
I think you ought to check it. I'll tell you this. Doesn't feel like it.
Everyone says that Mahomes is getting all these penalties. He was the eighth highest in roughing rate.
I know, but again, take out the regular season. I just want the postseason.
I don't think it's that wildly different in the postseason. He doesn't get as many roughing calls as most of the other quarterbacks.
Maybe people are being a little more disciplined in the postseason.
I don't think he runs as much as some of the other quarterbacks. Like Josh Allen takes off 12 times a game. That's probably part of it, but no, I mean, I think a lot of this officiating stuff has fallen apart upon closer inspection. But even so, why is that their fault? What did the Chiefs do? They're not the officials.
I think it's the whining for calls, but a lot of quarterbacks whine for calls. And by the way, you should be whining for calls if you're a quarterback. I think you should. I think coaches should be working the officials from the beginning of the game, and I think the players should be trying to get calls. I'm not going to begrudge somebody that. But here's the thing, bro. Just because there's not one reason doesn't mean there aren't, you know, valid multiple reasons. Like what I said, which is it doesn't feel like the Chiefs really had to face any true adversity. Like the thing about Michael Jordan, he lost for 7 years before he was able to finally win, right? There was like some real hard times. The Chiefs lost to the Tom Brady Patriots in the AFC Championship game on an offsides call and then won the Super Bowl the next year.
Well, I mean, you're saying Mahomes.
Mahomes,
yeah. As a starter. But, I mean, Reed lost more than anybody.
Yeah, I don't see Reed as an underdog. Maybe now because they've won so much, but even with Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, you just called Michael Jordan an underdog for losing in the playoffs.
Until he started to win.
He wasn't an underdog. He was still Michael Jordan. I'm not sure. I just don't think like, oh, it was too easy for the Chiefs. The other thing, the Chiefs are definitely, like, think of the 90s Cowboys, like top picks all over the field. Mm. Like there's not, I mean, the Chiefs are not built that way. They're built a lot of journeymen, a lot of later round picks. They, you know, the Cowboys had Troy Aikman, number one pick. They had, what was the guy? Their number one pick on defensive tackle, Russell Maryland. They had Deion was the number four pick. They had Evan Smith was 17 pick. The Chiefs are mostly non-first rounders or late first rounders. And also a lot of like Juju Smith-Schuster was a hero in the AFC title game. He was basically cut from the NFL.
Yeah.
They pull guys out of nowhere and bring them into the system. I think they're kind of a bunch of underdogs. And Mahomes, I know you poo-pooed this yesterday. Like Mahomes was definitely not like a sure thing. He was a three-star. Wasn't really supposed to be here. Went to Texas Tech. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but he was a first-round quarterback. Like, do you think Lamar Jackson is an underdog because he went late in the first round? I don't think people call him thought he was an underdog story.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not like Mahomes was handed anything. Like, Mahomes kind of acts like a mid-major quarterback. That guy is. He does not come off as hoity or like, oh, I'm like Trevor Lawrence, anything was handed to me. I feel like Mahomes plays like a guy who was not recruited by the University of Texas. Guy's got a chip just like Tom Brady.
Okay, he's a killer and he wants to win, but he is also very confident, dude. Yeah.
But he's definitely had the,
I don't think he that he's lacking for any type of, like, they know they're good.
But he has the same underdog story as all the other greats, like under-recruited. I mean, his only offers were Houston, Rice, and Texas Tech. He definitely was not like...
He played in a division. He played in the Big 12. That's not...
I mean, come on.
He didn't play in the, you know, the Big East of football.
Like dude went to Texas Tech. We're talking about the NFL here. Like, look around the drafts. You're not seeing a lot of Texas Tech quarterbacks going top 10.
I know. And his coach is a coach in the NFL. Like, they all left. They did go on to higher things than Texas Tech. But it's a major program.
Right, but is that like he's definitely not a guy where you said his journey to the NFL was too easy. not, he was nothing like that.
He was a first-round pick who came in, got to sit for a year behind a quarterback that showed him the ropes, and I don't think Alex Smith was, like, gatekeeping secrets to him at all. And then literally his first year starting, he goes to the AFC Championship game. What is challenging? I mean, yes, personal challenges, whatever, but sports challenges? Like, I think in order to be a somewhat likable dynasty, you have to have one of your stars truly has to lay claim to being an underdog. And I'm sorry, 3-star out of high school, considering what he did after, doesn't count. Tom Brady, you pick 199. That counted.
But everyone hated the Patriots.
Well, because they started cheating and stuff. Steph Curry being undersized, even though he was a first-round pick.
He was picked higher than Patrick Mahomes.
He was a top 10 pick, no doubt. But Curry feels like an underdog story. Davidson is a much smaller program than Texas Tech. I mean, not even close. And so I think you need somebody who represents something of an underdog.
So,
and Mahomes does not fit the criteria, in my opinion.
No, but he's definitely... The Chiefs are not like front runners. Like, this was easy for us. Like, Kelsey's a 3rd-round pick. Chris Jones, a 2nd-round pick. Like, they're not, this definitely is not like a team of like, whoa, we're just superior talented. Like, we just got all the high picks. I feel like they're a group where it kind of elevates their talent level. Pacheco is a 7th-round pick. He feels like an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they're, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not a wildly talented, it's not a dream team feel by any means. Like,
I don't know. I'm seeing McDuffie is an all-pro. Chris Jones turned himself into an all-pro. George Karloftis is a 1st-round pick. I mean, Xavier Worthy is a 1st-round pick. Mahomes a 1st-round pick. Their offensive line is graded really high. Like,
offensive line is a hodgepodge.
Their coach is going to the Hall of Fame. Their defensive coordinator should be going to the Hall of Fame as a coordinator. They've got tons of talent.
They're not the Heatles with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. And also, everyone you name was picked after 25. They're definitely not like just some supremely talented team. Like, there's no way. There are other teams in NFL history you could look and say, whoa, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. They're closer to the Patriots, where it was Hall of Fame quarterback and then fill around a lot of guys.
You don't think guys from the Chiefs are going to the Hall of Fame?
I think Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Mahomes.
What about McDuffie?
I mean, McDuffie's in his 3rd year, probably, but I mean, it's not like the Steelers who had, 14 Hall of Famers? No, they're much closer to the Patriots, which is Tom Brady and, they're definitely not like a Hall of Fame-laden team.
What about Tyreek Hill?
Yeah. I mean, do you know how many guys on the Steelers and the Cowboys in the 70s were in the Hall of Fame?
Well, let's see, because this team is not done winning, potentially. You know? Like, what if they had kept L'Jarius Sneed and he keeps winning? Like, is there a path for him? There's going to be a lot of guys who end up getting into the Hall of Fame off of this team. And you got a Hall of Fame coach, which also
helps. Mean, you just came off an AFC title game. Juju Smith-Schuster of all guys was torching you. Like, they go all over the place on this team. They're so much like the Patriots to me. And their defensive plays, they lost Sneed. Everyone's like, oh, this corner, this room's in trouble. Then they find another guy. They're just they're really, to me, a team in the true sense of the word, where they elevate a lot of guys. They're really good at taking guys out of nowhere and making better. That's my opinion on them. If you guys see them differently because they got George Karloftis out of Purdue, maybe.
So there are some interesting stats here. By the way, you can weigh in at 855-212-4227. Would you rather see the Chiefs win 3 in a row, which would be 4 overall for the Mahomes-Reed era, 3 in a row, or lose in the Super Bowl? This came from, is this Fox, EJ, this graphic?
Yes.
First things first. Okay, credit to them. Last 3 seasons, including the playoffs, it's a side-by-side between Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. And the stats are just almost identical. Mahomes, 48-10 record. Hurts, 42-12. Team points per game, 25 for Patrick Mahomes, 27 for Jalen Hurts. Completion percentage, basically equal. Total yards, Mahomes a little bit higher. TD to turnover ratio, basically the same. Wait. And Hurts has fewer turnovers. Passer rating, basically the same. I'm wondering, have we been, kind of sleeping a little on Jalen Hurts as a passer and as a quarterback over the last 3 years? Because very famously, Perloff, and this season, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles got off to a 2-2 start. And part of the reason was because Jalen Hurts had 7 giveaways in those first 4 weeks. And then after that, they went 14-3. And he only, after week 4, he only gave the ball away 3 times and they went 14-3. So they had a turnover problem with Hurts and they fixed it. And he stopped playing risk. He stopped taking, I guess, so many risks. And they're here in the Super Bowl. And 0 giveaways this postseason.
Wait, did you say the last 3 years?
Yeah, last 3 years.
Well, I think you understated the yardage difference a little bit.
I said total yardage was different. 290 per game for Mahomes, 260 for Hurts. Is it that different?
Jalen Hurts is at 260 over the last 3 years? Okay, I'm looking at different numbers then. Because I see Mahomes was like...
Wait, are you looking at graphic that we were both texting?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Mahomes is... It feels like peak Mahomes is just so much higher because he had those crazy, crazy seasons. Hurts, they're never going to have the volume of passing, right? That's the key with Hurts. You got to contain him, as you just said, because it happened to be turnovers, but they never want to let him just rip it all over the place.
Okay, but we're talking about the last 3 years. This is not the same Mahomes that was first breaking into the league and rolling out of bed and throwing for 5,000 yards. This is different.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying I think we know what Mahomes can do. That's the difference. Like, and I think a lot of people assume if Mahomes ever needs to be in a game like that, he can do that a little bit. Kind of did that on Sunday. I mean, his numbers have ticked up in the last part of the season, funnily enough, when they needed him to.
You don't think that Jalen Hurts is able to get into a shootout?
He had the one game against Super Bowl, and he was great. But generally, no, I'm much more comfortable with Mahomes in a shootout than Jalen Hurts in a passing shootout, definitely.
How about Jalen Hurts after the NFC Championship game on Sunday thanked Nick Sirianni for taking the straitjacket off of him? Clearly, he feels like he could definitely win in a shootout. 855-212-4227. Yeah, listen, I think that Jalen Hurts was awesome in the Super Bowl that he played against the Chiefs, except for the pick six, and that was in the first half, I believe. And everyone thought that his knee was all messed up, and the guy rushed for 3 touchdowns and looked great. So, yeah, I'm not sleeping on Jalen Hurts.
Wow, I think Mahomes is significantly better.
Well, all time, yeah, but we're talking about this moment. What's the team? Even you say it, the Chiefs got boring. They don't play the same way.
Yeah, but I feel like if Mahomes needs it, he'll pull it out. I really do, and I'm not saying that to argue with you. I think the Chiefs have a decided edge at quarterback.
You don't think that Jalen Hurts, who we just saw get into a shootout with the Chiefs 2 seasons ago in the Super Bowl, go toe-to-toe and lose on a defensive holding call, you don't think that he could do that again?
I'd be surprised. Yeah, I would be surprised. I don't expect a 38-35 game. I don't think the Chiefs play that way, and I don't think the Eagles want to pass the ball that much. I think 3 years ago, they were much more comfortable playing vertically. Obviously, they have Saquon, so just by definition. No, I don't feel as comfortable with Jalen Hurts as a pocket quarterback, especially, you know, one thing, pressure is a big problem for Jalen Hurts. Like, he didn't really pick up the Dan Quinn's blitz as well. I feel like if the Chiefs get after Hurts, he's going to be in trouble. Yeah, I definitely do, because he took a ton of sacks this year. But I'm surprised you're looking at me like what I'm saying is against the grain. I think what you're saying is I'm a little more contrarian.
Well, it's just funny. It's like, you know, he had trouble picking up the Dan Quinn blitz. He went 20 for 28 for 246 yards and a passing touchdown. Seemed like he picked it up okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the issue with the Eagles is you're playing the run. Yeah, I mean, Spagnuolo is going to be a different animal. There was a couple, you saw the plays where they just had a jailbreak blitz on Hurts and he got sacked for 20 yards. The problem with him this year was he held on to the ball a long time. He's got it, you know, thank God he could escape on Sunday. So, yeah, I am pretty sure that the Chiefs have a decided quarterback edge.
Let's go to Tom. He's in Youngstown, Ohio. Tom, you want to see the Chiefs three-peat, or would you like to see the Chiefs lose?
All right, here's my take on this. Sorry, Perloff, but any other team but Philadelphia brings it into a let's get rid of Kansas City conversation. But Philadelphia, it's kind of like Dallas and kind of like the Bears. They're not likable teams. Mm. I mean, so it's hard to root for Philadelphia even against Kansas City. And I think Mahomes is such a nice guy that he takes away a lot of that hatred. because he seems like such a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Reid is the opposite of Bill Belichick. People like Andy Reid. So it's tough to root for Philadelphia. Sorry, bro.
Oh, I hear you.
It's just hard to root for them. I mean, Detroit, I think we would have had, it would have been like a million, please, this is the team we want to win. Philly doesn't give you that feeling. It just doesn't.
Yeah, Tom, not exactly America's team, those Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you so much. And I don't know if America's team right now is that loved either, but no, I don't think anyone like Philly just seems like it's kind of insular. Like, you love Philadelphia if you grew up in or around Philadelphia. How many people in Northern California are walking around with A.J. Brown jerseys? Just, I don't think that many.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You never know what players will break through nationally. Like, we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. He broke through in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes the Giants nationally, but he was popular. So I'm not sure it's always a team. I don't think Jalen Hurts is wildly popular, like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. For some reason... Yeah, again, it sounds like I'm killing Jalen Hurts in this segment. I just don't think he captures the imagination of the sporting public the way some other quarterbacks do. It doesn't have a ton of like highlight plays.
855-212-4227. All right, so we got two things going on today. We have our question about the Chiefs. Would you rather see a three-peat or them lose? And then on Wednesdays, we do something called the Great Debate. Today's Great Debate, the greatest athlete to never win a title. Erickson in Indiana quickly. Eric, this is a great one. Who do you have?
Well, I got the stat. Maddox, Glavin, and Martinez and Smoltz faced Tony Gwynn 323 times during his career, and he only struck out three times. I'd have to say that would kind of be my guy.
Oh, Eric, Tony Gwynn is such a great one, and it's such a bummer with Tony Gwynn and with San Diego and with the strike and what would have happened if he had been able to go to the World Series. One of the all-time what-ifs in sports, and Tony Gwynn was phenomenal. 855-212-4227. Perloff goes against the grain. Next.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I already went against the grain and said why I think all the reasons that people hate the Chiefs are thin and felonious. Actually, felonious is not the right word, but they're just made-up reasons. I don't get any of them. But I'll tell you here, it's Maggie, five reasons to love the Chiefs. Five reasons that you cannot, as a neutral fan, root against the Kansas City Chiefs. And tell me if any of these you disagree with, because I think they're all rock solid.
Okay.
Number one, Andy Reid is the most likable coach in the NFL.
Can't go there.
What? Oh, okay. Well, already we're off. Who's more likable? Which coach is more likable?
Give me a second. I'll pick someone.
You're not going to find one. Andy Reid is, the Bundarooski ad is kind of maybe putting a dent in that, but Andy Reid is definitely the most popular and likable coach in the NFL.
My favorite
Harbaugh
coach.
Is a good stand-up comedian, but everybody in the league hates Harbaugh, so it's too intense. So I think Andy Reid is number one. I don't even know who's second. Can't even come up with a second.
Well, I think the players like Mike Tomlin, he won that player poll of who would you most like to play for, and I think most people think Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are like these geniuses, but Shanahan has lost to Reid twice.
That's likable. Not better, not likable within the team.
Brian Callahan, I have no idea.
You know who it's not is Nick Sirianni, by the way.
How about Pete Carroll's back? So Pete Carroll.
Nah, Andy Reid's more likable than Pete Carroll. Okay, number two. That's just my opinion. Andy Reid? Who doesn't like Andy Reid? Eh. Big Red? Okay, number two. Mahomes is spectacular. I know he's boring now, but he is the ultimate highlight quarterback. That guy's done things in the NFL that nobody can do. So why is this not like a good thing? He has reinvented the quarterback position. He's more spectacular than Lamar Jackson. He is just as good as Aaron Rodgers. The guy is like, why are we rooting for him? He's like Michael Jordan in football. I do not understand. Explain.
Oh, I have to go point by point?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's, do you agree?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Okay,
yeah.
Number three, they play team football. Why would we not like the way the Chiefs play? Every single guy sacrifices for the team. Every single one of them. Kelce caught two passes in the AFC title game and was blocking like a maniac. Dude's 35 and dating the number one pop star in the world. The Chiefs play absolutely the right way from top to bottom. They should be celebrated as a team, a classic example of team football. Kind of like the Patriots, but even better, like this is a true team, totally celebrated. Number four, their fans are totally non-objectionable. who has problems with Chiefs fans? They're right in the middle of the country. They're not treading on anyone. I've never heard anybody have an issue with Chiefs fans until maybe this year. They are totally nothing wrong with them. The Eagles fans, objectionable. Chiefsaholic, objectionable.
Yeah, but that guy.
He's serving time, so he is not out there. Generally, they have good fans, and they have Paul Rudd.
They should stop that tomahawk chop, though. And FSU, too, and all those people. That's my personal opinion, but go ahead.
Yeah, but in the you know annoying fan bases in the NFL. They are not one of them.
I know. I sit next to someone who roots for one.
Yeah. And then you have Jets fans around here. Like, this is the worst around here. Okay, number five. I think we should all be rooting for them because they're chasing history. You might not like it now, but, and I know, EJ, you don't like it. In 30 years, when you're telling your grandkids, you're going to say, yeah, I was there. I saw the three-peat, and it's going to be something special. So I think that is why a neutral fan, you might not feel in the moment, but I guarantee you're going to tell your grandkids, I saw it. Just like I tell people I saw Michael Jordan. It is something that is going to be appreciated. So everybody who's saying they're tired of this, just wait a few years. You will remember this, and you're going to respect it, and you're going to say, yeah, I was all about that.
I think your last, is that the last point?
That's all, five points, yeah.
Okay, I think that last point is the best point. I think that it will age so, it's going to be an all-time thing they're going to do if they do pull off the three-peat. And it really does start this interesting conversation about Mahomes versus Brady and about what was the more dominant of the dynasties. And I love that. I love that part of it because I'm curious. And I think there's arguments on both sides.
I'm still mad because you won't admit that Andy Reid is the most likable coach.
I mean, likable is pretty subjective, right? I mean,
I don't know. He's a big teddy bear. He's Andy Reid.
Eh.
He dabs.
He dabs.
The fact that you could come up with another one that is sort of universally, at least mildly liked.
I said, I think that Pete Carroll is very much like Pete Carroll, for everyone okay. But Richard Sherman. No, I'm just
Pete Carroll is just getting back into the league. Pete Carroll, you're right, is popular, but I don't think he's as popular as Andy Reid. And who else? You said Sean McVay? Come on. Nobody likes Sean McVay like that.
Keep rating his tree.
Yeah, he's a great coach. And Kyle Shanahan's a great coach, but they're not lovable because Andy Reid's been around forever. He's been kind of like saying nothing in press conferences for 30 years.
I'm so stupid. Dan Campbell. Everybody likes Dan Campbell, and I think we like Dan Campbell even more than we like Andy Reid.
I think Reid has too many years on him. I think we've been liking Reid for a long time. The mustache?
What's this we?
We America.
Oh.
People. And by the way, even you, EJ, you don't like the Chiefs. Like, you can't seriously have a problem with Andy Reid. Like, he's harmless at best.
I don't have a massive problem with him, but I think that there are things about all these folks that I think people can point to and say, hey, I'm not crazy about that. Like, Andy Reid, like, I know his kids have had issues, but I think there are people, when that stuff was happening, his kids were getting off on, you know, seemed like light charges for seemed like serious crimes. There were some people that looked at him and said, what's going on in the household? Like, I'm not saying that this is a reason to hate him, but I'm saying, like, there are reasons why not everybody loves Andy Reid.
Yeah. I think Dan Campbell has taken the torch of the most likable. Now, listen, Dan Campbell's stock is down now because they lost, got upset in the NFC divisional round, and Reed's stock is still high because they're back in the Super Bowl going for history. So I think people love Campbell. Let's go to Jared, who's in Boise. But good 5 points, bro. Well done. What do you got, Jared?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can, sir.
Okay, I would like to say that I represent the entire city of Boise and how we do not want to see a Chiefs three-peat. We want the Birds to take home the Lombardi this year, and it is because of one man only, Kellen Moore, the most winningest quarterback in college football history. Okay, so I know Perloff will like that. You go into every grocery store and people are talking about the Birds and how Kellen Moore is going to put up 50 on the Chiefs.
Man, so Kellen Moore is still awesome. The number one athlete from Boise. Ashton Janti hasn't taken any of that Kellen Moore shine?
He's definitely number two. People like Kellen just because he had a lot more wins.
Sure.
And he's still a community guy. He does commercials out here and stuff like that.
Got it.
But anyway,
will you guys all, the city of Boise kind of adopt whatever team drafts Ashton Janti?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm thinking about moving to Denver. I think he's going to go there for a job. And honestly, if Stenty goes there, I might take this job.
Jared, like, the commitment is just dynamite. Game. I love it. This is what we need.
But Sean Payton to Gaston Genty. Super quick before I leave. The reason that the country is pulling for the birds, I think, except for New York, Dallas, and Santa Claus, is because just what the NFL is kind of turning into. People love the physicality of the NFL, and the Chiefs just kind of represent the change that the NFL is. But I don't think it's necessarily the Chiefs' fault. They're just benefiting from the rule. But at the end of the day, they're the face of the NFL. And then you have the whole Taylor Swift aspect of it, whether you like or don't like her music.
Sure.
We'll determine that as well. But that's all I got to say, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, Jared, thank you for the call. Well thought out.
People hate roughing the passer. I mean, that's...
Yeah, they do. It's going to be reviewable, right? Are they thinking about making it reviewable next year?
I don't know what to tell you about the Chiefs. Yeah, the other teams get it too. Jalen Hurts, does he get roughing the passer? He always has those awkward slides. He won't take the hit. You know, he's such a wimp about that. I hope he takes the hits in the Super Bowl. He even did that against Washington. I'm like, dude, you're sliding 4 yards too early.
Who says I hope my quarterback takes hits in the biggest game of the season?
I want him to run like crazy in this game. Don't you want your quarterback to just leave it all on the line? The reason quarterbacks don't run is to preserve their health. There's nothing to preserve for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And he scored 3 rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game.
Looked great.
So I think he's going to be running for sure. You know what's funny about the Taylor Swift thing? And we mentioned it before when we talk about dynasties and people are popular and kind of turning on them. And you brought up the Caitlin Clark thing. And how people may eventually turn on her, even though she hasn't won anything yet. Like, how do you get the heel turn before you even get the titles? But I did actually notice a little when Caitlin Clark was sitting next to Taylor Swift in the suite for the win over the Texans. And I feel like people were like disappointed that Caitlin Clark was sitting next to her.
Definitely.
It's like, did you not think that Caitlin Clark might be a Taylor Swift fan?
What's that? Yeah, shocker, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Gen Z woman likes Taylor Swift.
That's not news at 11.
Well, I think it gets into that. There's this, one of the reasons people don't like this Taylor Swift thing is because all these A-list celebrities are in there. And I think there is a real dislike of A-list celebrities right now in America. Like, I think it's the elitists, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, and now Caitlin's part of the elite, kind of felt icky, right?
Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Can I be the pig-headed New Yorker and just remind folks who are not Chiefs fans that Philadelphia as a city doesn't deserve any of this? Like, this should be easy. The Chief backlash, the perfect medicine for that is facing the Eagles. There's a whole city of Perloffs walking around.
What did Philadelphia do? We founded this country, dude.
No. The country was founded in your city.
Yeah. By the way, how's it going now?
Don't blame us.
I mean, if I see one more video of a poor Commanders fan getting accosted over the weekend, what is...
Oh, my God.
No thanks.
Oh, the pick Commanders. One jerk pick to, as a hat
one
off a Commander.
One jerk? There's like 17 videos.
I know. It's just hard. You might have the right message, but you're the wrong messenger. You can't be like you can't be a person from New York being like, Philadelphia, what a town of, you know, loudmouths.
But I'm the expert. I got to share this. I understand in Boise, Kellen Moore, I get that. I can't fight that. So I can't bring this fight to Boise. Well, other places, without a Kellen Moore, listen to me. Everything that you think bad about the Chiefs is dwarfed in comparison by the heathens that live in Philadelphia.
He finally said something on the air that's worth a bleep.
Wow. All right.
The team is kind of likable, though. The players themselves?
I love Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, Saquon.
I want Saquon Barkley to win a title for any other team other than the Eagles.
I don't know if that's going to happen, dude.
And the Cowboys and the Commanders.
Yeah, by the way, you hate...
No, I'd accept the Commanders as a trade to get them away from the Eagles and Cowboys.
Do you hate the Cowboys less than you hate the Eagles?
The Cowboys are entertaining. I appreciate the Cowboys being the current state of the Cowboys.
Oh, because there's like, it's dumpster fire material at any moment? Yeah,
yeah, like,
it.
Thank you for air quotes. That's mm-hmm. a new good joke for a while.
Yeah, Jerry crying at the press conference.
What does Philly give me?
I think the Cowboys are the most hated and the most popular team. I wonder if the Chiefs are going to replace them as the most hated and the most popular.
I think it's looking like it. And by the way, you make hires like Brian Schottenheimer to be your head coach. Yeah. You slide into irrelevance. Yeah. I mean, you could have had Deion Sanders or maybe Bill Belichick and you go with Schottie. That's not raising the Q rating here for the next generation. But listen, maybe he's the next Marty Schottenheimer. Bogish, what's going on today?
We've given the Dodgers a lot of crap about their spending the last two winters, but they should be commended for this. The Dodgers Foundation and the Family Foundation of Chairman Mark Walter have committed $100 million to L.A. wildfire recovery efforts. Magic Johnson is also involved in this new organization put together by California Governor Gavin Newsom. The Lakers are across the country on a road trip right now. They won in Charlotte, but they didn't win in Philly.
LeBron with a feed that's stolen. The Lakers are turning it over at a rapid rate. Yabu to Maxi, open three. Tyrese Maxi pours it in. Timeout, Lakers. J.J. Redick steps on the court, and the Sixers lead by 19 points. Oh, my.
This is my point. They're snapping Laker win streaks. They can't cool off the Knicks. They're embarrassing Bronny last night.
Yeah, they beat Bronny.
They did.
I thought that guy was getting a little too excited.
That was Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Tyrese Maxey at 43 in this 118-104 win. The Lakers also losing Anthony Davis early to an abdominal strain. Here's LeBron.
I mean, when our best player goes out, it's always, you know, challenging, you know, especially in the game. Like, you know, when if he's out from the beginning, then we have a game plan set. We know what to expect. We know what our lineup's going to be.
Bronny played a career-high 15 minutes last night and struggled. He missed all five shots he took, committed three turnovers, and had no chance guarding Maxey. Steph Curry resting his knees. The Warriors still beat the Jazz 114-103. The Blazers topped the Bucks 125-112 in Damian Lillard's second game back in Portland. And the Rockets 196 winners in Atlanta. They've now won four in a row. The Kings are expected to make De'Aaron Fox available before next week's deadline. Fox apparently prefers the Spurs, and he reportedly will tell other teams not to bother going after him because he would not sign with them long-term in the summer of 2026.
This has got to happen, though, right? Like, Fox going to the Spurs, get Wemby a great wingman, get them in the playoffs, some excitement. That'd be amazing. No?
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Let's make it happen.
Is he good enough to win a title? Wen Bus-Jama? I'm honestly, like, I've always, I love
Wemby
De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, Fox.
I just don't know if he's a great enough shooter to go all the way. Is he the perfect partner for Wemby to take him to? Wemby's got to win a title. I'm curious. Like, why would he be on the trademark if he was that great? Crossed my mind.
He took the Kings to the playoffs. I mean, they didn't been in the playoffs in 20 years.
Also, I think he put himself on the trade market. I think the team would have ponied up again. They already gave him one huge contract. I think they would have given him another, no?
I don't think they want him out of town. He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy was under some level of consideration for the Saints job, but now we're told he is focused on next offseason's hiring cycle. Eagles OC Kellen Moore, the assumed favorite now in New Orleans, but nothing can happen with him until after the Super Bowl. Michigan State men's basketball on its longest winning streak in eight seasons, seventh-ranked Sparty reeling off 13 straight thanks to last night's 73-51 win over Minnesota. It's 10 wins in a row for number 21 Louisville, 72-59 over Wake Forest, and number 15 St. John's won its seventh straight, 66-41 at Georgetown. A major move in WNBA free agency last night. Brittany Griner leaving Phoenix, the only place she has played, for the Atlanta Dream. That news coming shortly after we were told that Phoenix was trading for Connecticut All-Star forward Alyssa Thomas. And finally, guys yelling about hockey.
And now Dallas has a 2-on-1. It's Johnston across, back to Johnston. He scores! Hat trick! Overtime winner! And the comeback is complete. The Stars beat the Knights 4-3.
That's Stars Radio. Dallas was down 3-1 in the second. Then Wyatt Johnston scored in that second, again in the third, and there in overtime for a 4-3 win. Guys, back to you.
Folks, thanks so much. Coming up, this story, I don't know if we should believe it or not. We live in a time when maybe we get fooled by things. This should be an all-time story, but I don't think any of us can figure out if it's true. We'll tell you about it next. It's M&P.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply. Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's kind of an interesting story that came across the internet, and I can't tell if it's true or not, Perloff. It's a high school basketball player in California who scored 102 points.
Right.
And his brother had 35 assists.
And no points.
And no points. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't make a single field goal. You're right. So this is, oh man, his last name is hard to pronounce. I don't want to mess it up. Nick Kachtikanian and his brother Dylan. Nick is the one who scored 102 points. His brother Dylan was the one who had the 35 assists. The score was 79-0 at halftime. And he would score 102 points in 22 minutes of 40 of 60 shooting.
Yeah.
Are we duped here? Like, did this happen?
But we've seen like crazy blowouts at the amateur levels before, right?
Yeah, you know, we see this, I think, a lot in, high school basketball. Sometimes it happens for, with the girls' side a little
bit
more.
Yeah, you're right.
UConn used to, like, really embarrass teams, even at the college level in the early parts of their dynasty.
And there was a college game. That kid, Jack Taylor, had how many games was it recently? Oh, 138 points?
Oh, yeah, for Grinnell College, right?
Yeah, Grinnell.
That was a college,
right?
Yeah,
it was like 15 years ago now.
I mean,
was that 15 years ago?
Yeah, that was a while ago. I remember
2012.
I remember waking up for school that day and seeing that on SportsCenter.
So because of the 3-point line, you can do this. I think the reason this is controversial, they're obviously like, don't you lay off at a certain point?
Yeah, 79-0
Maybe
at halftime.
Maybe dribble a little bit, yeah.
Maybe you just run out the shot clock a little.
Yeah, you don't keep gutting.
Is this, 7 seconds offense.
Is this? Yeah, right. You're running the
Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni 7 seconds or less offense. Are you running like the old Princeton, like Pete Carril? You got to lay off a little. Or do you let one of your players go for history? Because now we're talking about him on a national morning show. And he maybe gets a couple of college looks because of this. I don't know. 102 points, allegedly.
Yeah, I would go for it. Like, right, if you could score 100 points in a game, I mean, listen, I would kill for just like 8 points in a high school game, let alone 100 points. That's incredible. But it kind of exhausting, too. Like, takes a lot of energy to
think about
to score 100.
Just to put up 60 shots in 22 minutes.
So I saw, by the way, LeBron wanted footage of this game. Is there no highlights? What do we got here on the video side of this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is why I keep going allegedly. And it's an ESPN article, so they're putting their name on it. It's Mesrobian High School, just outside of L.A.
Yeah.
They beat Pasadena's Waverly High School 119-25. This was last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Nick Kachtikayan. I keep butchering this kid's last name. I'm so sorry. He averages 32 points a game, but he broke the state of California's single-game scoring record, dropping 102 points. 102 of the team's 119 points in 22 minutes. 80% from the field, as I said, 48 of 60 shot attempts. He only took 6 3-pointers, and he hit 3 of them.
Get Nick some help.
Well, see, that's the other part. It's not just the other team, and this is some pretty... Is this poor sportsmanship to beat a team 119-25? I would say it falls in the category. But what about the other teammates? Maybe they just want him to go for the record, and it gets everybody on the map, and everyone has a good time.
I'm looking at the highlights. The other team looks like they can walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't know what's happening here. They're not that bad. This is so weird.
Night.
There is video, and he's just hitting layup after layup. They're trying to play defense. Oh, man. We need to do a 30 for 30 on this game.
There's your game tape, LeBron.
Well, the other part, it's funny that LeBron, who like is kind of, we mess around that he lies about insignificant things, like seeing The Godfather and somehow knowing that Kobe was going to score 81 points before he did it. All this silly stuff. But so the two brothers are holding up paper like Wilt's 100. Mm-hmm. One says 102, and the other kid says 35 AST, like of the 35 assists. They're barely smiling.
Yeah, you got to look cool when you're holding up the 100. Wilt was smiling, actually. But isn't that a thing, by the way? I think it's actually Gen Z, or like they don't believe things happened, right? Isn't there young kids? Yeah, they thought Helen Keller was made up. That was a big controversial thing. It's actually kind of scary because then they deny other things in history.
You think the Kyrie Irving calling the earth flat? People not thinking the moon landing happened.
Right.
All
they
that
definitely
stuff.
Don't believe Will scored 100. But this, I think there's a lot. I'm watching a lot of layups. I can't believe this was all made up. I think he did score 102, Maggie. I think you can take the allegedly out.
Okay.
Taking 60 shots in a high school game that has 8-minute quarters is diabolical.
It's so many shots.
Come on, man.
God, I would have loved to play in this game on the losing team. Like, because I could have fired up a lot of threes.
I don't know if they were doing that. It doesn't seem like they were doing much of anything. They were down 79-0 at half.
Yeah, I don't know how they got nothing.
Is this team just like lockdown D?
No, it's a lot of fast. They're running a 1980s style Celtics fast break. No, I have no idea what's happening here. They're short. Yeah, this is a weird one. But
all right, we'll take the allegedly out of it. It definitely happened.
How did Jack Taylor score 138? Man, you seem to be the expert on this.
Bunch of three-pointers. That's what he did. He just shot from behind the arc.
But that was college, so that's, you
That's still incredible. He was going up against another college.
It's incredible. But it's not, as EJ said, 8-minute quarters.
Oh,
for
wow.
For high school. Just nuts. 102 points in California.
I got to be honest. The coach on the other team, he's not exactly preaching defense here.
Taylor Jack went 27 of 71 from behind the arc when he scored 138 points. He shot 71 three-pointers.
Sorry, this is not
impressive. I blame James Harden.
When you do stuff like that, like, come on, man. I'm sorry.
Some final poll results for you from today. Who is the greatest athlete to never win a title? My pick of Ted Williams is winning over Dan Marino, Charles Barkley, and Ernie Banks, and presumably Patrick Ewing. And then also, what do you want to see in the Super Bowl? A Chiefs three-peat, a Chiefs loss. Chiefs loss at 53%.
Yeah, I did the same poll. I got 68% saying no three-peat.
There you got it. There you have it. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, and Coffee Drinkers, callers, you guys have been on fire. Thank you so much. See you tomorrow.